nhpr.org. And thank you so much for your support of NHPR.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. This weekend in New Hampshire, the 2016 presidential primary felt not that far away. At the Northeast Republican Leadership Conference in Nashua, GOP big names from Bobby Jindal to Peter King to Rick Santorum spoke to the party faithful and began watering the grassroots for a possible presidential run. And our guest today says the fact that there are so many Republicans with Oval Office ambitions will make for an exciting New Hampshire primary. We're talking this hour with NPR national political correspondent Mara Liasson. She joined NHPR at an event at UNH School of Law last week, where she said 2016 will be unusual because while the GOP nomination is truly up for grabs, the Democrats at this point have just one serious possible candidate, Hillary Clinton. Today in The Exchange, NPR's Mara Liasson joins us on presidential politics, and let's hear from you. Republicans, which presidential candidates do you hope to see here in New Hampshire? Democrats, how about you? What national contenders do you hope make their way to the Granite State? And no matter what your politics, what's the one issue you hope dominates in our next presidential primary? The Exchange number 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. Post a comment on our Facebook page, NHPR Exchange, all one word. And Mara, welcome back. It's great to have you.
It's great to be here, Laura.
So no heir apparent this year for the GOP. You said at our event last week that was unusual. So what's normal, Mara, for the Republican nominating process?
Well, normally, you know, Bill Clinton likes to say, or he used to say in the past, that when Republicans choose their presidential nominee, they like to fall in line. Democrats want to fall in love. What he meant by that is that Republicans usually, historically, give the nomination to the guy who came in second last time, or the person whose turn it is. It's a hierarchical party, it used to be, but that's not true anymore. There is no heir apparent. I suppose that Mike Huckabee would be the heir apparent if you went by the old rules because he came in second, or Rick Santorum maybe. But the point is that right now it's a wide open field. You've had two straw polls so far, the one this weekend in New Hampshire and then one at the Conservative Political Action Conference. Rand Paul won both of those handily. Not that those are predictors of who will get the eventual nomination, but it is interesting how much energy and support Rand Paul has. His family, at least, has been considered to be on the fringes of the Republican Party, on the libertarian fringes in the past, but he is trying to bridge libertarianism and mainstream conservatism, and he has the unique ability among any Republican running to bring in new voters to the Republican Party, mostly young white men.
So Rand Paul, and then who came in second in the straw poll here in New Hampshire this week at that Republican Leadership Conference, but Chris Christie, representing another end of the party, Mara.
Yes, and Chris Christie was the front runner for a while. He was considered to be the kind of mainstream establishment, but still with a kind of Tea Party personality. He was pugnacious. He was he had won a tremendous landslide victory in his reelection campaign in New Jersey, and he was considered the man to beat. And he was the kind of Republican who, it was thought, could get the support of the mainstream establishment wing of the party, but also energize conservatives because he had such a strong, authentic-sounding anti-Washington message. However, then we had Bridgegate, you know, the traffic cone mess, and his star has dimmed. But in a place like New Hampshire, he's still very strong. He is a, he's a northeastern, eastern seaboard Republican, so he has support there. And there really isn't anybody else. There are no other northeastern candidates running. So I do think he's still strong. I think what this straw poll tells us or suggests that Chris Christie could still rehabilitate himself.
Well, and just rounding out this straw poll, not that we're saying this person's going to win or this person's going to win, but it does give you a sense of who's out there, who's being looked at. Tied for a three-way tie for third place this weekend, again at the event in Nashua, Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker, many listeners may be familiar with him, former Senator Rick Santorum of Pennsylvania, and of course many of our listeners remember Senator Santorum, and then Dr. Ben Carson.
Dr. Ben Carson is someone who has electrified the conservative base of the party. He has a big following. He's an African-American surgeon, I think, from Baltimore. And he's a social conservative, a strong social conservative, a strong small government conservative. And I think that he's going to excite a lot of people. I don't think he has a chance to win the nomination, but he's never run for anything before. But he does excite a lot of grassroots Republicans. I still think that Christie and Rand Paul really do delineate the clash between the two wings of the party that you're going to see. I mean, it remains to be seen, of course, if someone like Ted Cruz can kind of consolidate Tea Party support behind him and make a challenge. But I think Rand Paul and Chris Christie, that's a pretty good example of what we're going to be seeing as the race goes on.
Well, and I want to ask you a little bit more about that, Mara, but also invite our listeners to join us. The number here on The Exchange again is 1-800-892-6477. We're getting an early presidential primary preview today on The Exchange with NPR national political correspondent Mara Liasson. 1-800-892-6477 is our number. Email exchange@nhpr.org. By the way, I also want to remind you that it's NHPR's March Fund Drive. Please do your part now for NHPR. With a contribution of any amount, go to nhpr.org and thanks. And Mara, at our UNH Law event last week, you said that the theme right now in the Republican Party is the establishment strikes back, that after having trouble with Tea Party-backed candidates in 2012, the GOP mainstream is trying to reassert its control. So what does that mean in terms of some of these contenders that we saw here in New Hampshire and that are being talked about? And do you think the establishment... go ahead.
Well, I was saying it was kind of like the Empire Strikes Back, but I was referring to what's happening in Senate primaries, Republican Senate primaries for this cycle, the 2014 cycle.
Sure.
But I do think for the 2016 cycle, you will see the establishment, the business community rally behind the candidate they think is the most electable. Last time it was Mitt Romney, although I think people understood he was kind of the strongest in a weak field. But I do think that was happening behind Chris Christie. The big question now is he continuing to get that kind of support, or are people hanging back and waiting to see if he can weather the scandal with the George Washington Bridge? Now, he is the chairman of the Republican Governors Association. That gives him a great perch to go around the country, campaign for other Republican governors. Part of his message is that Republican governors can fix what's wrong with Washington. We don't just talk, we actually do things, and we have a long record of reform. And it also puts him in touch with every kind of bit of Republican money that there is out there to be raised. He has held fundraisers. He apparently is still raising money. I think people are just waiting to see if there's another shoe to drop in New Jersey. I still think you're going to see him. I would bet he will be the candidate that the establishment rallies behind.
So we have to wait.
Unless Scott Walker, with one caveat, because predictions are very hard to make, especially about the future, Scott Walker was the governor whose star rose a bit as Christie's fell.
Well, so we'll have to wait till 2014 then, Mara, to figure out this question of the establishment or not in 2016. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
We're going to have to wait till after these elections.
Again, our number, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. And Mara, let's go to our listeners, see what they think about this. Steve is calling from Concord. Hi, Steve. You're on the air. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it. A comment and a question, actually. The comments from a lot of people saying that there is a clash between the extreme ends of the Republican Party. I'm not sure if I'd consider that a clash. I would say that's more of a diverse amount of opinions. At least that's the way the Republicans see it. They don't see it as a clash. They see it as a wide variety of choice. And my question is that how does the Democratic Party explain away that they only have one candidate to choose from? The Republicans have a whole diverse array that they can see and dissect and examine and choose what kind of ideology or type of ideology within conservatism that they want. But it seems as though that the leadership has chosen the one candidate that Democrats can vote for.
You know, Steve, this is a great point and something I did want to bring up with you, Mara, because you mentioned it at our event last week. You know, the Republican field does have this diversity. On the Democratic side, you said there's really only one possible candidate at this point, Hillary Clinton.
You know what? I agree. I think the caller makes an excellent point. This is a healthy debate. I think sometimes in journalism, we like to use the most flamboyant word. Clash sounds a little violent, but I do think it's an extremely healthy debate. The party is very, very diverse. And what's really interesting to me as a journalist is that despite the Republican Party's structural problems and kind of all the things it has to fix as a national brand, it has an extremely strong, deep, diverse bench. And that's what you're seeing. You're not only seeing all these candidates running for president, Republican governors, social conservatives, libertarians, mainstream establishment types. You're also seeing an incredible bench for vice president. Just the kind of diversity of an ethnic diversity, which is astounding in a party that's majority white. And at least in the last election got even whiter. You know, you've got people like Susana Martinez and Brian Sandoval and Bobby Jindal, who, will, even though he's running for president, always seems like he's running for vice president. So that's really, really interesting to me. As far as the Democrats, the only point I'd make about the caller's question, I don't think the Democratic establishment has decided that there's only one candidate to vote for. I don't think that's what's happening. I think that it's a kind of strange situation where you have this one extremely dominant, overwhelming favorite in the Democratic Party. 63% of Democrats are for Hillary and something like 13% are for Joe Biden. I mean, it just is working out this way. And so I don't think it's a matter that the Democratic Party has fixed it for Hillary. And she is going to have to figure out if she gets in and is the prohibitive front runner, she's going to have to figure out what she does while there's this incredible, lively debate and big knockdown, drag out fight on the Republican side among many, many candidates. And there she is running almost by herself. So she is going to have to think about how do you use the primary season to develop enthusiasm and get the grassroots stirred up and not seem like she is being coronated. I think that's going to be a real task for her and her campaign.
Well, and that's what you've said makes 2016 so unusual, Mara, and so interesting is that the GOP has this big, diverse bench. The Democrats have this one sort of mega candidate. Steve, thank you so much for that call. After a short break, we will take more of your calls, comments, questions about the presidential primary coming up with NPR's Mara Liasson. Right now, though, let's check in with our March Fund Drive.
Good morning, and you're listening to The Exchange during our March Fund Drive. The Exchange, of course, made possible thanks to you when you become a listener contributor here at NHPR. This is your opportunity to step forward and support the program that is such an important part of your weekday morning routine. Of course, that is The Exchange with Laura Kanoi. Call now, give as generously as you can at 1-888-805-6477 or online at nhpr.org. I'm Program Director Michael Rathke, and here with me is our News Director, Sarah Ashworth.
And good morning. And if you can pledge this morning at the $180 level, or you can break that up into installments of $15 a month, we'll send you, it's brand new this drive, the NHPR Boat Bag. This is a big double canvas bag. It has red handles. Of course, it's got the NHPR logo on the front. It's got a pocket on the front as well. You could use it for travel when you go to the beach. You could carry your groceries in it, too. You can have this bag with a pledge of $180 today. Help support the Exchange now. It's a level of $15 a month. If you can make that commitment, please call 1-888-805-6477 or go online to nhpr.org.
When you listen to The Exchange, you hear about all kinds of interesting topics, topics that make you think. Sometimes you hear things that make you laugh. Sometimes you hear things that make you a little bit upset. And The Exchange gives you a platform to share your comments and ask your questions as well. It's a chance for you to participate in the topic of the day. The Exchange is made possible thanks to you when you contribute to the NHPR March Fund Drive. It's your opportunity to do that right now. Take 2 minutes and support The Exchange and your other favorite NHPR programs at 1-888-888-888. 805-6477 or online at nhpr.org.
And we have just about 39 minutes or so left to raise $1,700 to help support New Hampshire Public Radio. Think about what part of that you can help with. Maybe it's $5 a month or $10 a month or $20 a month in the Sustainer Plan. You can pick the amount, put a value on your listening to NHPR, put a value on the exchange and what it brings to your weekdays. Make that pledge now. Call 1-888-805-6477 or go online to nhpr.org.
You often hear on NHPR that we are listener-supported NHPR. Listener-supported means radio for you and, in a very real sense, radio by you as well, because listener support makes up over 40% of the operating budget here at NHPR, the very foundation of our revenue, so that we're able to bring you your favorite programs like The Exchange. We're asking you to step forward now and join this very special community of public radio supporters now with your contribution at 1-888-805-6477 or at nhpr.org.
And we now have just $1,600 left to raise here by the end of The Exchange. We can do that. You're listening to The Exchange. Help support the program right now. We make it convenient to give at all times. All we need is a little contact information, how much you want to give, and of course, how you want to pay. You can use your credit card or a bank account for your sustaining membership or to make a one-time gift. And the 2 minutes or so that you take right now are so important because the money you give helps keep NHPR and programs like The Exchange on the air and available to all. So help out. You're listening to The Exchange. Become a supporter of The Exchange. Call 1-888-805-6477 or go online to nhpr.org.
Think about the reasons why you listen to NHPR. Probably topping that list is each and every day when you tune in, you probably learn something that you didn't know the day before. We understand that you trust us to explore the important nuances of subjects and stories so that you can better understand them. We share your passion for learning, which is what drives us in this pursuit. Your donation right now of any dollar amount really helps NHPR continue to perform our public service mission, which is provide you with programming of true substance and importance. Call 1-888-805-6477 or give online at nhpr.org.
As Michael said, a donation of any amount helps New Hampshire Public Radio. If you can make one at the $15 a month level, we'll send you what's new this fund drive, the NHPR Boat Bag. It's a big canvas bag with the NHPR logo on it. That's for a pledge of $180 or $15 a month. Call now 1-888-805-6477 or make that pledge at nhpr.org. And thanks.
This is New Hampshire Public Radio, 924. Good morning. Support for NHPR during our March fund drive comes from you, our listeners, and support also comes to us from Heritage Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, Electric, now offering electrical repair and service, in addition to furnaces, boilers, and water heaters, online at justcallheritage.com. And New Hampshire School Administrators Association, representing school superintendents and administrators, championing the education of children every day, nhsaa.org. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, NPR's Mara Liasson is with us, national political correspondent for NPR. We're talking presidential politics, and let's hear from you. Republicans, which presidential candidates do you hope come up to New Hampshire? Democrats, how about you? What national contenders do you hope make their way to the Granite State? And no matter what your politics, what's the one issue you hope dominates in our next presidential primary? The number here in The Exchange for you to join us, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. And Mara, let's go right back to our listeners. And Tim's been waiting in Durham. Hi, Tim. Thanks for hanging on. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Oh, I didn't hang on that long. I think Mara did sum up what in my view is a typical Democratic activist, although I should say, in the interest of full disclosure, I'm one of our many 400 state reps and I am a town chair, but Hillary's lead, there's nothing really sinister about why she's so far ahead, is that there haven't been that many candidates coming, and see somebody who's been around for 20 years, even even when she's the First Lady of Arkansas, she was a strong presence in the national scene. So that,
sure, people in New Hampshire know Hillary Clinton. Yeah,
but I'm baffled as an observer of the Republican scene. That I know there's a large field that just seems like an extraordinarily weak field. A lot of the names, most of those names she threw out, just seemed, at least from a Democrat's perspective, to be just totally implausible candidates. Certainly, the two governors you mentioned. Governor Walker has created a lot of chaos in Wisconsin. Chris Christie, although he's probably more moderate than the other candidates, would have more of a chance of getting votes from people, people in the middle. Has, what I think is just a horrendously embarrassing scandal in New Jersey, and I don't think any Democratic governor could have survived anything like that. So I'm just, and a lot of the others just seem, from my perspective, to be extremists. So it's just that I'm so far to the left that my perspective what's going on the Republican side is skewed, or is the Republican
Party
still...
Well, Tim, can I ask you a quick question, and then I'll definitely want Mara's thoughts on your perspective on these candidates. Yeah. How do you feel as a Democratic activist about the idea that while there is all this activity on the Republican side, there really isn't anybody else right now anyway making their intentions known on the Democratic side?
Well, I mean, it's the primary is a... I've been through a lot of primaries. It's a lot of fun, but certainly just in terms of what I'm doing personally, we have a lot of issues here in the state, and it's I think we're certainly, us in the Democratic caucus in the New Hampshire House, we're concentrating on the issues before the House. So it's actually,
right now.
So I think to some extent, I'm glad not to have this distraction, and I'm sure Secretary of State Clinton is not the only Democratic candidate who will be coming here next year, and or at least for a few weeks in 2016.
All right. It's still early, Tim, and a point well taken. What do you think about his point on the GOP field? Now, he admits he's a strong Democrat, but he's like, look, these people are all too extreme for the country.
Well, first of all, I think that we're a long way away from being able to say that definitively. The voters are going to decide that. But when you compare this Republican field to 2008, it's head and shoulders above. I mean, you had Mitt Romney, the best of a weak field. You had, Newt Gingrich, Herman Cain, Michelle Bachmann. I mean, Jeb Bush didn't run. Mitch Daniels didn't run. I mean, you did not have this lineup of governors, senators. These are serious Republican candidates. Democratic activists might think they're too extreme, but this is a big, solid field. Now, can any of them beat Hillary Clinton, assuming she's runs and is the nominee, in a environment that is so advantageous for Democrats? And I'm talking about the presidential electoral landscape. We don't know that. But I think this is a big, serious Republican field. And I do think it's, ironic that a party that has so much trouble as a national presidential party, they've lost the last 5 out of 6 popular votes for president, has this big, robust field, whereas the Democrats, who've won the popular vote in the last 5 out of 6 elections, have only one candidate, one formidable candidate.
Tim, thanks a lot for the call. Good to hear from you. The number here on the exchange is 1-800-892-6477. Questions, comments, thoughts about the upcoming New Hampshire presidential primary. Getting a very early look at it this hour with national political correspondent for NPR, Mara Liasson. You can join us at 1-800-892-6477. I also want to remind you it's our March fund drive, so you can do your part for the exchange for NHPR with a contribution of any amount. Go to nhpr.org, make your gift there, and thanks. And Mara, let's take another call. This is Jack in Manchester. Hi, Jack. You're on the exchange. Welcome.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I was talking to somebody and I missed your cue.
That's all right, Jack.
We do that all the time here on professional radio.
I'm kind of surprised, given the history of what happened in 2008, when everybody assumed, and on both parties, that it was going to be Hillary Clinton for the Democrats, and the Republicans had to find somebody who could beat Hillary Clinton. And they thought it was going to, for a long time, they thought it was going to be Rudy Giuliani. And we never had a Clinton-Giuliani runoff. So I think anybody, any Democrat who wants, who has presidential ambitions, and this year where there's going to be an opening, there won't be any incumbent president running. I think any Democrat who has presidential ambitions, who thinks he or she is of presidential timber, to hold off and wait to see what Hillary Clinton does, I think is making a mistake. And I think there's a guy that they're talking about in Massachusetts who they think may be warming up in the bullpen, and that's Governor Deval Patrick. And, you know, I know a lot of people think, it's time, it's past time we had a woman president, and maybe not time to have the second consecutive African-American president. But I don't think people care about that. And
well, Jack, this is really interesting. And, you know, he's making a good point that, hey, the field's wide open. Why not other Democrats?
Well first of all, Deval Patrick people assume he has presidential ambitions. That's not the question. The question is, would he run this time? And he says he doesn't want to. He wants to go and make some money. Maybe he'll run in the future. I take him at his word for the moment. I think there are other Democrats who are getting ready to run for president. Martin O'Malley is one of them. He's term limited. There's no other obvious position for him to run for. He's the governor, former governor of Maryland, or will be. And I think that there are plenty of Democrats who would run, even if they think that Hillary's the prohibitive front runner, because either they want to get on the ticket, they want to just get a kind of a race under their belt. It's hard to run for president, and it really helps if you've done it before, and Hillary Clinton has. But I think that, the incredible thought experiment is what happens if she doesn't run. That's mind-boggling. I think the Republicans would be jumping for joy, and Democrats would be in, you know, utter chaos for a while. But, Hillary Clinton, even though we call her the prohibitive front runner, has some really big, profound questions to answer as she contemplates a candidacy, which is, if she was the past last time in the primary and Barack Obama was the future, how come she's the future now that she's going to be 69 years old? And why is she running? Why is she the future? She can't run just to be the first woman president. That's obviously implied in her history-making campaign, but that's not a reason people will vote for her. She can't run to be the resurrection or the, you know, reconstitution of the Clinton administration, and she can't run to be the continuation of the Obama administration. She has to come up with a real rationale why she's the right person for this moment. And on top of that, she would be trying to do something that's really hard to do. And the only person who's done it in the modern era is George H.W. Bush. And that is to succeed a two-term president of your own party. That's very hard to do. After 8 years, a lot of times voters just want to change.
Yeah. All right. Well, Jack, thank you very much. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Here's an email from Christopher in Manchester. He says, folks often describe Rand Paul as a foreign policy isolationist. As our attention turns to the unfolding events in Ukraine, plus the Russian threat in Central Europe, will the, quote, foreign policy wing of the Republican Party, e.g. John McCain, Lindsey Graham, raise concerns about his hands-off attitude and work against him, him being, again, Rand Paul? That's another debate within both parties, I would say, Mara. I'd love to hear what you think. You know, how involved America should be abroad and how involved we should not be.
That's a really important debate, and it's already a debate in the Republican Party. This foreign policy, national security issues is what prompted John McCain to call Rand Paul and Ted Cruz wacko birds. And you are seeing a big debate already between the foreign policy establishment kind of defense hawks versus the non-interventionists. I think you're right. You can't call him an isolationist, but he certainly is a non-interventionist. He didn't want to send the loan guarantee to Ukraine because he felt the money would be going to Russia. This is a debate that's been fully joined. Chris Christie made no bones about the fact, before Bridgegate, that is, that he was ready to take on Rand Paul on foreign policy. And I do think you're going to see that as a very big debate inside the Republican Party. I think it's going to be less so inside the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party is just less divided right now. That didn't used to be the case, but they are. And don't forget, the country as a whole is in a non-interventionist mood. We had two very long wars. They are coming to an end. One has ended, one is coming to an end in Iraq and Afghanistan. And there is just not the appetite on the part of the public for more foreign interventions. However, the world is a dangerous place, and the United States is the world's greatest superpower, the only great superpower. And you know, these situations like Ukraine keep on coming up. So I think there's going to be plenty of talk about foreign policy in the presidential primaries.
Well, and I remember in the last two presidential primaries here in New Hampshire, the biggest applause lines of those Republican debates, Mara, were when Ron Paul, Rand Paul's father, said, you know, we should get out of Iraq, we should get out of Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. That was pretty popular.
Yep, it certainly was.
Let's take another call. Matt's joining us from where? Hi, Matt. Thanks for being on the air with us. Go ahead. You're on the Exchange.
Hi, Laura. Libertarians like Rand Paul and his father are often described as conservatives or even ultra-conservatives, which isn't at all accurate. And I want to thank Mara for not making that mistake. Libertarians are socially liberal and fiscally conservative, and it's the socially liberal part that flips out the Republican establishment. For instance, the Libertarian Party came out in favor of gay marriage, you know, a long, long time before either the Democrats or the Republicans. And Rand Paul and his father are for drastically cutting back the size of the military. So I really applaud people like Mara that are, you know, trying to make that distinction more clear, whether you're in favor of that or against it. At least we should be clear about it.
You know, and this is real interesting, Matt. Thank you for the call. What do you think, Mara? And then I have another question for you.
Well, you know, what's so interesting about that also is that on social issues, the country is moving towards the Pauls. In other words, on social issues, the country is getting more liberal and moving away from the traditional Republican social conservative position on gay marriage, for instance, even on, you know, marijuana legalization. And that's what I find so interesting. So the Republican Party is in a state of intellectual ferment, and Rand Paul is right in the middle of it, trying to craft a new kind of what is going to be the successor to Reaganism, basically. Strong defense, small government, conservative on social issues. I think that's a little bit up for grabs now.
You know, it's interesting, too. I have read that while the country does seem to be moving more left on marijuana, on gay marriage, for sure, on abortion, Mara, we're pretty much where we were 30, 40 years ago.
Yeah, on abortion, we're pretty much where we were, although I think, you know, safe, legal, and rare is still probably the consensus position. That was kind of Bill Clinton's formulation. But there is support for abortion restrictions, for a ban on late-term abortions in some cases, for parental consent in some cases. But we don't see much change in the kind of small majority, but very stable majority, who are for legal abortion.
All right. And after a short break, we'll take more of your calls at 1-800-892-6477. Emails are welcome, exchange@nhpr.org. Also, we'll talk a little bit more about the primary calendar and how it might be different this time, especially how that will affect the New Hampshire first in the nation presidential primary. All that after a short break, but we do need to check in now with our March Fund Drive.
And good morning. I'm Sarah Ashworth, and this is NHPR's March Fund Drive. Please give as generously as you can to keep your favorite programs, just like The Exchange, on the air. It only takes about 2 minutes to give at nhpr.org or call 1-888-805-6477. And joining me in the studio today is Michael Rathke.
Good morning. Our goal for this hour of The Exchange is to raise $1,600, and your call right now gets us on the road to reaching this hour's goal at 1-888-805-6477 or at nhpr.org. We'd like to thank you for your contribution of just $15 a month by sending along to you what has turned out to be one of our most popular thank you gifts. It is the new NHPR tote bag. It's lightweight but durable, big enough to bring things home from the grocery store or the hardware store. The bag is white with red handles and the red NHPR logo on the side. It's a great way to proudly show off the fact you're a listener of NHPR and a supporter of NHPR. The NHPR tote bag, again, is yours for $15 a month at 1-888-805-6477 or nhpr.org.
And we'll get right back to Laura's discussion with Mara Liasson. We can only bring this caliber of a national reporter to our air because of listener support. Mara Liasson's mind, if you're listening, you know it's like a steel trap. She is so well-versed in presidential politics. She's been covering Washington for nearly 30 years. It's this kind of analysis and context that comes your way on NPR and NHPR every day. Help support this kind of programming. Help help support the reporters like Mara Liasson. You can do that by making a contribution now at nhpr.org or call 1-888-805-6477.
And once again, we need to raise $1,600 in the next 20 minutes. Now, we've had a very good morning so far, and thank you for that. But we need to stay on track to ensure we raise all the dollars we need to raise this week during our March fund drive. So that's why it's so important we reach this hour's goal of $1,600. Your gift now of $10 a month or $20 a month or maybe a dollar a day, whatever amount works for you, will help us reach this hour's goal and ensure that we have all the dollars we need to pay for the exchange in the next 12 months here on NHPR. Call 1-888-805-6477 or nhpr.org.
Think about how many times you say, I heard that on NPR, I heard that on NHPR. And I bet this conversation you're listening to right now between Laura Kanoy and Mara Liasson is going to be one of those that you quote as presidential politics start to heat up here in New Hampshire and throughout the country. It's the insight from people like Mara Liasson that helps inform you, and it even helps inform you when you eventually go to the polls as well. And you can participate in this discussion today. It's NHPR programming, and it's here because of listener support. We're asking for your support now. Please call 1-888-805-6477, or you can always go online. Takes just a couple of minutes at nhpr.org.
And when you go to nhpr.org and give, you can check out the many great options for thank you gifts at the various suggested pledge levels. Of course, you can give whatever amount works for you, but we do have suggested pledge levels based on what listeners have donated in previous fund drives, including your thank you gift for just $15 a month, the new NHPR tote bag. Check out for your own, with your own eyes, what the NHPR tote bag looks like when you give online at nhpr.org. Or, of course, you can always call and support the exchange and NHPR at 1-888-805-6477.
And we are looking to still raise $1,600 this hour during the exchange. Every phone call, every pledge online helps us do that. Listener support makes up just more than 41% of the total revenue for NHPR. Getting more members, just 1 or 2% more of the audience, it makes a huge difference in our ability to serve you even better and keep bringing you programs like Mara Liasson on the exchange. Please call and make your pledge of support right now. It takes just a couple of minutes. Here's the number, 1-888-805-6477. You can also take just a couple of minutes, go online. You can look at some of the thank you gifts there as well. That address, nhpr.org.
As Sarah said, 2 minutes. We don't keep you on the phone or on the web all that long. We just need the basics from you, who you are, how we can reach you, how much you'd like to give, and which credit card you'd like to use to pay your contribution. And just like that, you've supported the exchange. Again, $1,600 to go on the goal for this hour. We do need to hear from you next at 1-888-805-6477. You can also give online at nhpr.org. And thank you for your support of listener-supported New Hampshire Public Radio.
This is New Hampshire Public Radio, 944. Good morning. New Hampshire weather mostly sunny for today. High temperatures upper teens north, ranging upper 20s in the south. Support for NHPR comes from you, our listeners, during our March Fund Drive. And support also comes to us from Currier Museum of Art in Manchester, presenting Signs from the 60s, Robert Indiana's Decade, featuring works by the creator of the iconic love stamp. Details at courier.org. And from New England College, now offering 7 MBA programs on-site and online. Program details and registration information at nec.edu. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Tomorrow in The Exchange, the debate about e-cigarettes. We'll find out more tomorrow. Today in The Exchange, NPR's national political correspondent Mara Liasson joins us. We're talking about presidential politics, the calendar, the candidates. Join us with your thoughts. 1-800-892-6477. Post a comment on our Facebook page, NHPR Exchange, all one word, or send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. And Mara, before we go back to our listeners, I did want to ask you about the calendar. How's it going to be different this time? Do we know yet?
Well, what we do know is that the Republican Party has decided to make its conventions earlier, in late June or early July. That'll at least give them a chance to have a longer general election season. They don't want to do these things in August anymore. The other thing they want to do is bring some order and discipline to the primary process. And they've failed in the past when they've tried to penalize states that jump the line. Of course, they only reserve that early window for New Hampshire, Iowa, South Carolina, Nevada. And they now are going to be much tougher. The penalties are going to be much greater. You could lose all your delegates, not just half. So I think you're going to see a telescoped primary season that ends earlier convention for the Republicans, and they feel that will help them be more competitive. They're trying to make a lot of reforms that will put them in a better position to start winning the White House again.
So what's the problem with losing all your delegates? Because as you mentioned, you know, in the past they've had these punishments and it hasn't made a difference.
Well, it hasn't made a difference because they figured that the delegates would be restored, that it was worth it just to get all the candidates to come to their state early. A state like Florida has always been a renegade in these matters. But, you know, I think that it could help the party get some control over the process. You know, they want to give these early states, small states, a chance to weigh in. And then have a second window for other states to hold their primaries and caucuses. And, you know, it just could give the National Party a little bit more control over the process.
Yeah, June would be, wow, that would be really early.
Yeah, well, a late June convention. Yes, that would be very early.
What about Democrats, Mara? Do they necessarily have to follow the same calendar that Republicans do?
No, they don't have to. But I think the Democrats have been a lot better at sticking to their guns about keeping the four early primary and caucus states, you know, relatively inviolate. And they haven't announced, you know, when they're going to have their convention. But I don't think the Democrats really have as much to worry about. I mean, there are big questions about whether you could get a third Democratic term in the White House. But the Democrats are facing a lot of structural advantages. You know, we talked about this when I was up in New Hampshire, but the base vote for the Democratic Party in the last 5 out of 6 elections has been 18 states plus the District of Columbia equaling 242 electoral votes. That's a long way to 270. That's what they've won in 5 out of the last 6 elections. The Republicans start with a base, a reliable base of about 102 electoral votes, 13 states that they've won in the last 5 out of 6 elections. So the map, the electoral map, the way we elect presidents in the United States right now favors the Democratic Party. For many, many years, it favored the Republicans, but that has switched.
And this is the map for presidential elections. For the congressional elections, you said last week, Mara, it's a different map, isn't it?
Yes, it's really completely different. The landscape for the 2014 congressional elections favors the Republicans. And there's a lot of gloom and doom among Democrats in Washington right now about the Senate. Republicans only need a net 6 pickups to take the majority in the Senate. And it seems like every day the pool that they're fishing in gets bigger and bigger. We saw just last week Scott Brown get into the New Hampshire Senate race. That was a big deal. Now we've got a New Hampshire Senate race that's competitive that joins the 3 open states, Montana, South Dakota, and West Virginia, where Republicans have an excellent chance of winning. You've got the next tier of 4 very vulnerable red state Democratic incumbents in Arkansas, Louisiana, North Carolina, and Alaska. And then you've got states like New Hampshire, Michigan, Iowa, Colorado. I mean, there are a lot of places where Republicans feel like they should be able to net 6 out of that pool. And the special election in the congressional district in Florida, the 13th congressional district last week, which went for the Republicans, even though Democrats had high hopes there, poured in a lot of money, got a very good candidate. That has made Republicans feel that running against Obamacare is really their ticket to success. And they're feeling extremely confident about picking up the Senate. But it is very, very different than the landscape they'll face right after Election Day in 2014, when they start looking at 2016 and a national election, where all the demographic trends in the country are really heading against them. In the states that are up for grabs in the Senate, there are very, very few with significant Hispanic populations.
Let's take another call, Mara. And this is Stephen in Arundel, Maine. Stephen, you've been hanging on for a while. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, thank you very much. I just want to make a couple quick points about Hillary. I don't want to talk her to death, but I get the feeling that I like her as a candidate. I think she'd be an excellent president, but she's so divisive. I think that in the last election, when Barack Obama really came along, people just figured Hillary's got too much baggage and he was a better choice without all that baggage. And one last comment before I get off is You know, Rush Limbaugh is on his knees praying every day that Hillary Clinton becomes president. It would just cement his career. Well, excuse me.
Stephen, so thanks for the call.
Democrats would take that.
Yeah, the baggage issue. It does often come up with Hillary Clinton. Go ahead.
There is a lot of baggage, but that's true. And she's continued to move forward in her career despite that. I'm not saying it wouldn't be formidable, and there's so many scandals to choose from, and the Republicans are getting together a shelf of material for every single one of them. But I don't think that diminishes the fact that she is the strongest Democratic candidate out there.
Thanks a lot for that call, Stephen. And here's an email from Ken in Bethlehem. He says, I keep wanting to bring up 2 points whenever I hear a political dialogue. One, I've been hoping to see more actively from independent party neutral candidates. I sometimes wonder if a strong independent could be successful in a presidential bid. That's Ken's first question. And then his second question is one that has come up before. He says, when are we going to get past the need for an electoral college? It seems obsolete to me. What about that first point, a more party neutral candidate, a third way candidate, and so forth, the no labels movement?
Yes, there have been third party type movements, but they never seem to get traction. And unless you had a self-funding candidate, I mean, someone like a Michael Bloomberg, you know, a kind of modern day Ross Perot, I don't see how they'd be competitive. I mean, generally in American political history, when a third party movement, comes forward, they get absorbed into one of the major parties. And that certainly is what happened with the Tea Party. The Tea Party turned out to be a great source of energy and some divisiveness inside the Republican Party, not outside of it. Americans just don't go for third-party candidates. And I get this question a lot.
I bet.
And I just don't see it. I mean, there's so many people who are completely fed up with the two-party system and would like somebody to run who wasn't so partisan, who wasn't so rigidly ideological, who was willing to work across party lines, but it just never seems to happen.
And the Electoral College, we got this question when you were here last week as well.
I think it would be very, very hard to undo the Electoral College. It would have to be have the support from people who benefit from the Electoral College and or maybe a constitutional amendment. There is a movement to have states pledge that their electoral vote would never go against the popular vote, kind of neutralize the Electoral College instead of actually getting rid of it. You'd have to get states, I guess, equal to 270 electoral votes to do that. But that's the only thing I see. I think the Electoral College is just baked in the cake, and I don't see a movement afoot to get rid of it.
Well, here's my last question for you, Mara, and it has to do with the calendar, but it also is very parochial. So New Hampshire, there was a lot of introspection last time about whether the nominating process had become so nationalized to the point where New Hampshire doesn't really matter. Based on your conversations, Mara, with sort of top political folks, I mean, we can take it, you know, if you say that we don't matter anymore,
do we? I don't see that. I really don't. I mean, look, everybody came up for the straw poll. I mean, I just don't, I don't see it. Don't see New Hampshire disappearing. I don't. I think that there's, if any state is going, any early state is going to be diminished, it's Iowa. Because there's the Republican Party feels that Iowa kind of wrenches its primary system into a social conservative direction. It's less in the mainstream.
It's a caucus too. So it's kind of
the caucus. Yeah. I mean, yeah. And you recently had the Tea Party chairman of the Iowa Republican Party step down. But I think New Hampshire is still got a really strong spot. I don't see it being undermined or diminished.
All right. Well, we hope to see you, Mara, when you come up to cover the primary.
Well, you certainly will.
All right. Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's Mara Liasson, national political correspondent for NPR. Let's check in quickly now with our March Fund Drive.
Good morning. I'm Michael Rathke, program director at NHPR. And if you've enjoyed this great conversation this morning that Laura had with Mara Liasson, the best way to tell us is to make your financial contribution now to NHPR to ensure that you can hear an entire year's worth of interesting, compelling conversations on the exchange. These programs are made possible thanks to you with your support at 1-888-805-6477 or at NHPR.org. www.newhampshirepublicradio.org. And here with me today is our news director, Sarah Ashworth.
And if you can make a pledge of support this morning at the $180 level, or that breaks down to about $15 a month, we will send you one of our new thank you gifts this drive. It's the NHPR Boat Bag. It's a big durable canvas bag. It has red handles. Of course, it's got the NHPR logo embroidered across the front. It's got a pocket across the front as well. It's kind of like one of those L.L. Bean tote bags, but this one has the NHPR logo on it, so you show your support. You show that you're not just a listener of New Hampshire Public Radio, but you are a member. You are a supporter of New Hampshire Public Radio, and you can do that in just a couple of minutes by making a pledge and calling 1-888-805-6477 or going online to nhpr.org.
And coming up in just a few short minutes, it's the Diane Reams Show. Today in the first hour, Diane looks at the ongoing crisis in the Ukraine, the latest on that situation, and that's coming up on the Diane Reams Show, another program you make possible with your support to NHPR. Really, you make all the great programs possible when you give to our March Fund Drive. Let's hear from you next at 1-888-805-6477 or at nhpr.org.
And we still have about $1,400 left to raise here this hour during the exchange. That's only in the next few minutes. We'd really like to hit this because when we do, we stay on track for the overall drive goal. So it's important to hit these goals, to come as close as we can. So if you can help us out, if you've been enjoying this discussion between Laura Kanoy and Mara Liasson and you're looking forward to the Diane Reams Show, if this is a part of your weekly routine, help support it now. We really rely on your support. You make a huge difference when you make a call right now at 1-888-805-6477, or you can go online as well. That address again is nhpr.org.
NHPR connects you locally and regionally with programs like The Exchange and Word of Mouth, and of course nationally and internationally with programs like The Diane Reams Show, which is just minutes away. You make all these programs possible when you take that step from being a listener to NHPR to becoming a contributor to NHPR. Take that step right now at 1-888-805-6477 or at nhpr.org.
And if you value the programming that comes your way every day from Laura and her team of producers on The Exchange, then consider becoming a member of NHPR's Leadership Circle. That's a commitment of $100 a month. That goes so far in helping us keep a program like The Exchange on the air. And giving to NHPR is easy. It just takes a couple of minutes on the phone. You tell us your name, your address, your contact information, and how you'd like to pay. You can set up a sustaining membership, or you can pay in one lump sum too. It is up to you. But first, you have to make the call, and you can do that at 1-888-805-6477 or online at nhpr.org.
And your gift of any dollar amount right now, every single dollar makes a difference, whether it's $5 or $10 a month or a dollar a day, whatever amount works for you, helps us reach this hour's goal of $1,400 in the next 3 minutes. Let's hear from you next at 1-888-805-6477, nhpr.org. You're supporting your favorite programs. You're really supporting the soundtrack to your day. Programs like The Exchange and The Diane Reams Show and Word of Mouth. These programs really provide the companionship, the soundtrack to your day. You make it all possible when you give to our March Fund Drive. NHPR.org or at 1-888-805-6477.
And we are hearing from many of you now. We have just $1,300 left to raise. We've heard from Margaret in Peterborough, who says, I count on you for news and information. Megan and Dave in Portsmouth say, I listen to NHPR whenever I'm in my car and I value its programming. Here's a great comment from Timothy from Bow, who says, I am from New Hampshire but live in Japan now. When I come back to New England to visit friends and family, I enjoy listening to New Hampshire Public Radio. That is so great to hear. You help support the content on NHPR by making a pledge at nhpr.org or calling 1-888-805-6477.
$1,300 to go in the next few minutes. Call right now, 1-888-805-6477, nhpr.org.
This is New Hampshire Public Radio with the Diane Rehm Show coming up next. Support for NHPR comes from you, our listeners, during our March Fund Drive. And support also comes to us from Vineyard Brands, importers of Marcus de Caceres wines from the Rioja region of northern Spain. Information on the web at vineyardbrands.com. And from LRG Healthcare, presenting an information session on Makoplasty, robotic joint replacement for hips and knees, March 19th.